Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And what makes this day even better is that South Africa won. So it's always good news. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I want to start off this evening and I want to read to you something that I got from Stuart Scott's book, Exemplary Husband. Now, I'm not the exemplary husband yet. I've read through the book and I've still got a long way to go. You can ask my wife. But I want you to tell me what it is that Stuart Scott is speaking about. No looking at the sermon title in the bulletin, so no cheating. So what is it that he's speaking about? He writes, "You cannot come to God without it. We cannot love God supremely without it. We cannot be an effective witness for Christ without it. We cannot love and serve our wives and others without it. We cannot lead in a godly way without it. We cannot communicate properly without it. We cannot resolve conflict without it. We cannot deal with the sin of others rightfully without it. We especially cannot resist sin without it. We cannot be all that Christ wants us to be without it." So what do you think it is that he's talking about? Well, the answer, it is humility. You see, you cannot come to God without humility. You cannot love God supremely without humility. And so I can go on. Humility is that which doesn't come naturally to us. And I'm sure you will agree. You see, humility is rare. It is so rare that we often struggle to identify it in our lives and the lives of others. You and I, we are naturally proud. I'm standing here preaching this evening not as a naturally humble person. And you're not surprised. I know you're not surprised because you know the same is true for you. I am naturally proud. You are naturally proud. Tonight's message will be a bit different than the normal messages. It will be a topical message, and we're not going to look at one specific passage, like the normal exposition of one passage, so we're not going to look at Philippians. But it'll be a topical message, and it'll be a lot more applicational. So I hope you'll find it useful. Even though we will focus on humility tonight, the focus tonight will be on humility. You cannot speak about humility without speaking about Jesus, yes, but pride. You cannot speak about humility without speaking about pride. So, what is pride? What is pride? Well, I'm sure you've seen in the bulletin, I've titled it, that pride is the enemy of humility. That is what it is. It is the opposite of humility is pride. It is self-exaltation. It is the lifting up of self. I want to tell you this evening that pride is a monster. It is a deadly evil. If you do not kill pride, it will kill you. If you do not destroy pride, pride will destroy you. If you look around today, if you look around in the world, you will see that there's no shortage of pride. Just take a look around. Look at the elections. I mean, look at the campaigning. You can just see pride. Look at watch a rugby game and you will see the pride coming out. There's no shortage of pride in this world and even amongst believers. Sad, if you think about it. Men and women, even children, small, insignificant, man, creatures, created beings lifting themselves up above one another and even trying to lift themselves up above God. Men and women, we often believe that everything is from us, that everything is through us, and everything is ultimately to us. But I want to tell you this evening that there's no middle road. You can't be proud and humble at the same time. You are either proud or you are humble. But I also want to tell you that you cannot be all that God wants you to be if you are proud. You see, pride hinders us from being what God wants us to be as believers. I want to ask you, If you can choose someone to get into the boxing ring with, who would you choose? I know some of you might choose someone smaller, someone younger, someone that's not as fast as you, someone that's not as strong as you are, so that you can beat that other person into the ground. Some of you might choose someone your size, you know, your height, your weight, you know, just so that it's a fair competition. But I want to ask you, who would get into the ring with Mike Tyson? Who of you would get into the ring with Mike Tyson? Well, I see that many of you love your ears, so you won't get into the ring with Mike Tyson. But would you get into the ring with Evander Holyfield? I mean, you'd be a fool to want to get into the ring with these amazing boxers, these heavyweights. Now, I want to tell you that if you are proud, that is what you're doing. You are getting into the boxing ring, but not with these heavyweights. You are getting into the boxing ring with God. That's what we are doing when we are proud. Just think about it. It's unthinkable. You know, in the left-hand corner, weighing in at 85 kilograms and standing at 1.9 meters tall is Quinton. And on your right-hand corner, the omnipotent, all-knowing God of the universe. I mean, do you want to get into the ring with God? I don't want to get into the ring with God. But when we are proud, that is exactly what we are doing. We are standing up against God. We are putting the boxing gloves on and saying, God, let's go. Let's fight. We know that the Word of God says that God opposes the proud. And in that passage in Peter, it's God is continually opposing the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. You and I, we must learn to destroy pride in our lives. Pride is bad. And we shouldn't even give it a small gap. Don't even give it the smallest of gaps. If you read your Bible, which I hope you do, if you read your Bible, you will see pride all over the pages of Scripture. You will see many examples of men and women, people who are just proud. There's no shortage of pride, even in the Bible. Why not? Because the Bible tells us about God and tells us about man. So surely if it speaks about man and tells us about man, it shows us the sin of man that comes out. And pride will come out in the Bible. There's at least one good thing that comes from the proud in the Bible is we can learn from them. So don't be proud and learn from those who were proud in the Bible. Learn from them. Look at Satan. Look at Lucifer. Look at Saul. Look at Goliath. Look at King Uzziah. Many, many examples of men who lifted themselves up above God. Now, I'm sure you all know what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was proud and God humbled him. After Daniel's interpretation of the dream and what will happen to the Babylonian king, this takes place. So I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. In this passage you will see how God humbles the proud. I'm going to start reading from verse 29. Now, as I've said before, this isn't going to be exposition of this specific text, so don't look for it. It's not going to be that. But we're going to look at verse 29, from verse 29. Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, now listen to what this king said. He says, is not this great Babylon, which I have built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Do you see the pride that comes out of this text? Then verse 31. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know, listen to what he needs to know, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Now look at the change now from verse 34. It's a different man. Listen to this. Verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Then just verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. What an amazing passage. What an amazing account of a man who was proud, but God humbled him. An amazing example for us. We know that Proverbs 16 verse 18 says that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. We know it. We know these passages. But I want to tell you that pride will lead to your destruction. Pride has led to the separation of God and man. We see in the garden, it led to Adam's fall. See, man in his pride is nothing but a self-worshipper. That's what we are. Self-worshippers if we are proud. I can promise you, God will destroy anything that seeks to lift itself up above God. But how is pride manifested? I mean, it's easy to speak about, you know, prideful people. And when you think of pride, what do you think of? You often think of guys like Mugabe, or you think of Hitler. But how is pride manifested? How is it manifested? Often we've got no idea how pride is manifested. And we self-righteously think that we don't struggle with it. We think that we don't struggle with pride. Here are some ways in which pride is manifested. I mean, I found these very helpful to identify pride in my own life, so that I can live humbly before God. I also got this from Stuart Scott's book, so I'm just gonna summarize it as we go through it. I'm gonna read it to you. But firstly, I want to tell you that this is very convicting. Very convicting. If you sit and you go through this and you don't walk out feeling that there's some area that you need to change, well, then I'm sure you didn't listen so well. Also, another thing is, as I go through this, don't try and think of other people. Don't try and think of ways in which other people's pride is manifested in their lives. Don't think of other people. Take a look at your own life. And this is exactly what your pride will do to you. As I go through this list, you'll start thinking of other people. And this is what my pride did to me. As I went through this list, I was thinking of all the other people. And I was thinking, oh, I can see pride in their lives, but I couldn't see it in my own life. You see, our pride blinds us to not see it in our own lives, but we can only see it in the lives of others. Well, ways in which pride is manifested. Firstly, are you complaining or passing judgment on God? Are you complaining and passing judgment on God? Maybe you say, well, God, I've been single for so many years. I've faithfully served you. I've lived a sexually pure life. And this is what you give me? I can't even get a girl. I can't even find a wife. Is this what you give me? Maybe you've faithfully given to the church, you've faithfully given to other people, and then at the end of the year or when it's time for bonuses, you get your bonus and you go, Lord, is this what you give me? Is this the bonus that I get after everything I do for you? Isn't that what our pride does to us? Secondly, do you have a lack of gratitude in general? Do you think that you deserve what is good, therefore you're not thankful? I want to ask you, when your salary is paid into your account every single month, electronically, it's just, okay, this is for my hard work. Or do you thank God even for that salary that you've worked for? Do you struggle with anger? Maybe outbursts of anger, you know, hitting things, yelling at people. Do you struggle with outbursts of anger? A taxi driver's in front of you, what do you do? How do you respond? But it's not only the outbursts of anger, it's not only that. What about other ways in which anger is expressed? What about that withdrawal? I mean, if there's a husband and a wife here, you know what I'm talking about. Your wife asks you, what's wrong? And nothing. Nothing. Oh, I'm okay. I'm over it. No problem at all. And that withdrawing, that kind of anger. Also, are you frustrated with every single person? People that you work with, they frustrate you. It's nothing but anger, nothing but pride. Do you see yourself as better than others? Do you look down on other people? Whether it is race or whatever. Do you have an inflated view of your importance, your gifts and abilities? You know, you think, this church, I wonder what they do without me. This worship team, maybe they should just be called team if I leave, and not worship team, because, or things like that. Do you think, do you have an inflated view of your importance, your gifts and abilities? Are you focused on your lack of gifts and abilities? Often this isn't seen as pride. You know, people say, well, I'm just not gifted in that, or oh, if only I was gifted like this or that. It's nothing but pride. It's nothing but self-focus. It's nothing but a desire to be elevated. It's nothing but pride and self-pity. Are you a perfectionist? That can be pride. It can be pride. You know, often you want to do things for recognition. You want to do things so that you can feel good about yourself. You know, you're a perfectionist so that at the end you can feel better about yourself. Are you talking too much? When I did this at the Bible study, lots of people just said, that's me. That's me. Are you talking too much? Do you think that your conversations and the things that you have to say is far more important than what other people have to say? Are you talking too much about yourself? A proud person might center on themselves in conversations, always thinking, always talking about their own abilities, their own accomplishments, and bragging. And you go up to people and say, man, you should have seen that goal that I scored. Man, defenders from every side, and I just curved it into the corner. Nothing but pride. Are you always consumed about what others think? Always thinking, what are they saying about me? What are they thinking about me? You're always concerned about the opinions of others. Are you a people pleaser trying to impress other people? Are you struggling to take criticism? Do you think that you are perfect and that you don't have any weaknesses? Are you unteachable? You cannot learn something from someone else. Are you always sarcastic, hurtful, and degrading? Always wanting to raise yourself up? Are you serving in the church? Well, if you're not serving in the church, you might be proud. You might think, well, obviously you might be thinking about yourself. And you want to be served, but you don't want to serve in the church. Are you always defensive or shifting the blame? Do you struggle admitting that you are wrong? Always having or making excuses? Do you struggle to ask forgiveness? This is a big one in marriages, I know. Do you lack biblical prayer? Is your prayers always focused on yourself? Are you always voicing your preferences and opinions when you're not asked? Are you jealous and envious? You cannot be glad about the success of others. Do you like using people? Just surround yourself with people so that you can just get out of them. You don't want to give, you just want to see what you can get out of them. Are you using attention-drawing tactics? Maybe through the way that you dress. Maybe through strange behavior. Maybe through being rebellious. Always talking about your problems. Well, I hope that these points that I've gone through, I hope that they were as helpful to you as they were to me. I mean, you almost want to go through this and you need half an hour, you need an hour just to stop and confess and say, God, I see the pride in my life, and to ask for forgiveness. Now, obviously, that's pride. So, and I'm sure you're going, Quentin, please just stop. Inside, you're going, please just stop. I can't take it anymore. I need out. So, C.S. Lewis wrote this. He says, if anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. This is a biggish step too. At least nothing whatsoever can be done before it. Isn't that true? That is the first step to humility, is to realize that one is proud. But what is humility? What is humility? Well, before Jesus Christ, before Christianity, in the Greek culture, humility was seen as a sign of weakness. Humility was seen as a sign of fear. It was mostly used to refer to slaves, and it often described those who were common, those who were of little value. But Jesus Christ came, and what did he say? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, blessed are you when you are humble. Humility is nothing other than having the right view of yourself. You see, God comes in the scriptures and he calls us to have the right view of ourselves. He calls us to have the right view, the view that to see what the Bible says about ourselves. You and I mean, we must realize that we are undeserving sinners saved by grace. Even after salvation, we must have a clear understanding of our sins. That is having the right view of yourself. We've got nothing. We've got no reason to be proud. No reason. We cannot even be proud about our salvation because we didn't even save ourselves. And also, this changes the way that we think about other people, the way that we look at unbelievers. I want to ask you, how do you look at unbelievers? Do you look at them and think, hey, you poor sinners, wretched sinners on your way to hell, you'll get what you deserve? Do you look down on unbelievers? Or do you realize that that is you if it wasn't for the grace of God? That's you. What do we have that God didn't give us? Absolutely nothing. Everything that we have comes from God. What is there to boast about? What can we really boast about? You see, the humble understands that they are nothing without God. The humble understands and realizes that they are like a child, absolutely dependent on God for everything. Even the next breath that you are taking. Please, and I think some of you need to take a few more breaths. Even the next breath that you're taking. See, the humble believes that everything is from God. Everything is through God, and ultimately everything is to God. We can only boast in the fact that we know God. We can only boast in the fact that we understand God. We can only boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. We can only boast on Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. That's what we can boast about. The humble focuses on God, and the humble focuses on others. The humble doesn't focus on self. Plainly stated, it's out of humility that we can fulfill the great commandment to love God and love others, not self. Stuart Scott also says that the humble person has no need to be recognized or be approved. If you are humble, you won't serve to be seen by other people. You won't serve to receive rewards or praises from men. If you are humble, you will serve and you will do good, even if it's only God watching. Scott also says in his book that the humble have no need to compete with God. They don't have to compete with others for glory. No need to elevate themselves The goal is to elevate God. The goal of a humble person is to lift God up, not self. The goal is to encourage others and lift God up. As I go through this, we just need to realize that we need to search our hearts, the motives of our hearts, and see if we are truly walking humbly before God. In humility, we must realize that some people are more gifted than you are. You must realize that some people are walking closer with God. Some people are more mature in the faith than you are. We must realize that. I've said this last time that I've preached as well, but can you imagine how different the world would be? How different the world would be if we were all humble. Can you imagine how different marriages, our friendships, even churches would be if we were all humble? Can you imagine the impact that we would have on the world? But now I want to ask you, how is humility manifested? And I'm just going to go through a couple of these. So I also found these very helpful. Do you recognize and trust God's character in blessings and in trials? Do you see yourself as having no right to question or judge an almighty God? Do you see Christ in your life as your first love and your only must-have? Do you pray biblically and do you pray often? Are you overwhelmed with God's undeserved grace and goodness? Are you thankful and grateful in general for others? You don't expect anything from anyone, therefore you are grateful for everything that you receive. Are you gentle? Are you patient? Do you have the right view of your gifts and abilities? Are you a good listener? Do you talk about others only when what you have to say is good or when it's for their good? Do you gladly submit to those in authority, teachers, leaders, the government? Are you putting others before yourself? Are you thankful for criticism and reproof? Do you have a teachable spirit, knowing that you don't know everything? Do you always seek to build up others? Are you looking out for ways that you can serve? Do you serve without being asked? Are you quick to grant forgiveness? When someone comes and asks for forgiveness, do you grant forgiveness immediately? Is repenting from sin, is it a way of life? Are you minimizing other sins and shortcomings as compared to your own? Are you genuinely glad for others? Are you open and honest to others about their sins and the areas in which they need growth? Well, there's lots of examples in the Bible of humble men that we can look at. The next time that I preach, we will look at Philippians. We will continue in the book of Philippians, and we will look at the greatest example. We'll look at Jesus Christ, the greatest example of humility. But you say, Quentin, even after listening to all these great things, how do I walk in humility? Say, what's the way to humility? What do I do? Well, firstly, I want to tell you that it is impossible to be humble. It is impossible to be humble apart from Jesus Christ and apart from the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to be humble without Christ and without the Holy Spirit. If you are not saved, if you are not a child of God, then you cannot be humble. There's no way. You cannot be humble. Everything that you do is saturated with self. Even the good that you do is all about self. It's about self-worship, self-exaltation. What you need to do, if you're not saved, you need to humbly come to God for salvation. That's the first step. Come humbly, realizing that you are a proud sinner, that you are in need of grace. Grace which can only be received through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what you need to do. But if you are saved, and you struggle with pride, which I know many of you do, because I struggle with it, I want to firstly come and say to you that there's hope. There's hope for you, and there's hope for me. You see, humility is attainable. You and I, we can live humbly. But here's what we need to do. We must remember that we can live humbly because of our new nature. Because of our new nature in the likeness of God and Christ. Created in the likeness of God and Christ. Because of our new nature, we can live humbly. Then also, you need to live every hour, every minute, every second of the day in faith. Trusting God. Depending on God for everything. Not on self. Then thirdly, as a believer that struggles with pride, what you need to do is go to the cross. You need to go to the cross. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ and be humbled. Go back to the gospel, not for salvation, but as Neil preached last Sunday, go back to the gospel for sanctification. Go to the cross and be reminded of God's grace. If you struggle with pride, go to the cross and be humbled. On the cross you will see Jesus Christ, the sinless God-man dying in your place. And you will be humbled. You will realize that you have absolutely no reason to be proud. At the cross you will see God's holiness. At the cross you will see God's holiness as it is poured out upon His Son. On the cross you will see God's justice, God's grace, and this is humbling. I want to close off with the words of Isaac Watts. He writes, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." Let's just close in prayer. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, who hasn't put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, who knows that they are proud, Lord, I pray that they would come tonight and even confess that they are lost sinners in need of grace. Lord, we realize that You have never saved a proud person before. You cannot save a proud person, Lord, and we need to come in dependence to You for salvation. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of people, convict them of their sins, convict them of their pride, and so that they would turn and run to You for salvation. Because we know that humility is only attainable through Christ and through the Holy Spirit's work. Father, then I pray as if there's anyone here who's really struggling with pride, and if they've identified some areas in which they struggle with pride, Lord, that they would go out and apply Your word. That they would look to Jesus Christ, the perfect example of humility. God in flesh who humbled Himself and died for sinners. Father, I pray that You would be with us during this week. Lord, when we are tempted to sin, to realize that every single time that we commit a sin, every single time that we sin, we turn our backs against You and we are proud. In that moment, we choose to be self-worshippers and we love self above You. Father, I pray that during the week that You would help us not to sin against You, not to sin against others, but that we would seek to exalt You, the one and only true God. That we would seek to encourage one another, not exalt other people, not exalt ourselves. Father, we thank You that it's only through Your Son that we can be humble. Lord, it's really convicting, and thank You for Your Holy Spirit, which just guides us and helps us to live changed lives during this week. Lord, I pray as Paul said, he said, "I, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility." Lord, we know that if we walk with humility, we are walking worthy of this amazing calling with which You have called us. Thank You once again, Father, for saving us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You've sealed us, that we are Yours, and that nothing can ever snatch us out of Your hand, Father. We thank You for our salvation, which is secure in You, and I pray that during this week that we would rejoice in You saving us, And that we would boast in the fact that we know and understand the one true God. And that we would boast in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. I pray this, Lord, and in your Son's precious name. Amen.